So the reading this morning is the whole of this amazing chapter from Isaiah 58. It's on page 744 of the Church Bibles if you want to find it. And I invite you just to listen to what really touches your heart as it's read. Shout it aloud. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion, and to the house of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what's right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please. You exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarrelling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for a man to humble himself? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying on sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast? A day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke? To set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You'll be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations, and you will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath, and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honourable, and if you honour it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord. And I will cause you to rise on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Wow. I mean, what a passage that is. Let's pray, shall we, as we look at that. Jesus, we thank you so much for your word, for the power of your word, for the life of your word, for the joy and the challenge of your word, for the excitement. And that when word and spirit are united together, there is joy, there is life, there is power. And so we pray for that unity of word and spirit this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So when we were forming the statement of becoming at the end of last year, this is the statement by which we stand by as a church. This is what we're seeking to be as people of God. When it was being formed, deep within me, I knew there had to be something in this to do with justice. And the importance of justice. At the time, Phil and I were doing a couple of Bible studies around the minor prophets in the Old Testament. And what you see time and time and time again is God's heart for justice. How God desires justice for his people. How God desires justice in the world. How God desires us to be workers of justice. And it just would have felt so wrong for that not to be reflected in this statement. And so that final sentence there, that as we're seeking to be these communities, we're working for justice locally and in the world. And it was a challenge to me to put it in. A real challenge for me to put it in. And I'll tell you why. The whole purpose of this statement is that we're supposed to be sort of trying to use this as almost as a mirror, as we hold this statement up to ourselves and say, well, how are we doing with this? How are we doing with being disciples? How are we doing with being joyful and all of those things? And through the course of the year, as we learn more about these aspects, we're encouraged, we're calling on you, we're asking you to just say, well, where do I need growth in this statement? And for me, it's this area of justice. It's the area I most need God's help in and God's guidance for and God's leading in. It's the area of my life that I recognize I want to see more growth. So it was hard to put it in because it was a real challenge to me personally that it's in the statement. It's in there because I knew God was saying it had to be in there. As we're doing with each of these themes through the year, we're reflecting on each of them sort of one at a time and then going back and going through them again and going back and through them again. So we're at the end of this first run where we're looking at justice. And last week you were looking at honouring one another. Authentic communities we're focusing on in the autumn term. That will be explained why when we do that. But for now, we're focusing on justice, which does follow on naturally from honouring one another as well, as you see in that passage. Because in the passage, what you find in that amazing chapter from Isaiah 58 is you have a group of people, people who claim to be followers of God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who seem to be doing all the right things. The word seem appears, I think, four times in that passage. They seem to be seeking my righteousness. They seem to be wanting to know more about me. They seem to be wanting to grow in holiness and righteousness. But really what God is saying is he sees the heart. He looks at the heart. There's that famous saying, I think, in psychology, that nobody knows your motive apart from you. Well, that's kind of true, but God also knows. and he's seeing the motive of these people, and there's something about their fasting and their praying and their living that has become really self-centered and self-focused. And they appear to be doing all the right things and saying all the right things, and they appear to be doing all the right things, but something behind what they're doing is not God's desire. And you can see there's that passage that by their fruit you will know. And the fruit of these people, you say fruit, is that they're abusing their slaves, they're treating people unfairly, they're not acting justly at all. So clearly something is wrong. Something isn't quite as it appears to be on the outside with their wonderful fasting and laying of sackcloth and ashes and crying out, whatever it may be. Because real fasting, the real sense of fasting that God is looking for, is laying down one's own wants and desires for the sake of others. It's an act of self-sacrifice. It's an act of humility before God to say, I'm going to abstain from this. In the example that he's setting there, people are abstaining from food, whatever it may be, and I'm going to abstain from this for the sake of Christ, for the sake of God, for the sake of others, and not for myself. I'm laying down what normally is a comfort and a necessity to me for the sake of God. But that's not what these people are doing. They're laying down these things in the hope they're going to get something in return, that something's going to come back to them. Or if I do this, then God's going to bless us. And there's something about that motive that isn't quite right. And what's dangerous about it is it seems right. It's close to being right, but it isn't. God goes on to say, is this not the fast I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. He goes on to say, is it not my desire that you share everything you have, that you house those who need housing, that you clothe those who need clothing? And then he goes on to say, it's as you do those things, it's as you walk in those acts of justice, it's as you live out those things that I desire for my people to live out, then you will see who God really is. Then you will see what God is really like, because what you're doing there is you're walking in step with the very heartbeat of God, which is for justice in the world. So as you walk in justice, so you are walking his rhythm. And seeing the God that you worship. And things will then begin to happen, as he goes on to say in those wonderful words. Here's the amazing thing about biblical justice that I've come to realize this week. Because as I said, by putting that in the statement, and by, I didn't deliberately put myself down to preach on it, but actually it's been a good discipline this week to really grow in my understanding of justice. I've been sort of looking at other passages about justice and things that we read about justice, and there are too many for me to have looked at in one week. There are literally hundreds of passages around this theme. But the definition I found through Scripture, or what you see through Scripture, is that justice, true biblical justice, is divinely righteous action, whether taken by humanity or by God, that promotes equality among humanity. True justice is divinely righteous action, whether taken by humanity or God, that promotes equality among humanity. What that means is that if we act justly as God's people, it gives just as much glory to him as if he were to do it himself. That he desires to partner with us in bringing justice to this world. We know, as we've been learning in Genesis, the original design, the original desire of God was that we partner with him, that we work with him in bringing his desire for this world. And part of that is bringing justice to this world. And he partners and invites us into partnership. And when we do in the area of justice, when we partner with him, not only do we get to walk in the very rhythm of the heartbeat of God, but also we glorify him hugely. And that justice needs to come not from a place of obligation. This is another reason why I was nervous about putting it in there. Because there's something about it that feels like obligation, isn't there? That we must work for justice. We'll come to why it's those words in a minute. But it comes from that place of deep relationship. The people seem to want to get to know God, as Isaiah was saying. They seem to want to know his ways. But if we really want to know his ways, then we find them as we walk in justice. It becomes about that response to that relationship. You'll see that this in the passage, it's really closely linked with Sabbath rest, really closely linked with delighting in God, with knowing God, with being with God, with spending time with God, that justice and Sabbath are really closely linked, as is righteousness, which we'll reflect on in just a minute. And so there's a call on us And in one sense, there is a sense of obligation about it. Because the more we get to know the heartbeat of God, the more we get to see it is for justice. And if we're not working for justice, then something's wrong about our understanding of God, is it not? As it was for the people that Isaiah is writing to, they weren't working for justice because something was disconnected. And when we're connected, I think justice flows, as the scripture says, like a river. It can't help but flow out of us. The more we know the God of justice, the more we want others to know his justice. As this morning at St. Mark's, we were having communion, and I found myself saying during the liturgy, having spoken on this same theme of justice, just before we received, Jesus, thank you for the justice we have received from you. We are people who are recipients of his justice. And because of that, we want to share it with others, pass it on to those who don't have it. Which is why the statement of becoming doesn't say that we're people who are praying for justice or hoping for justice. We are working for justice locally and in the world. And this is where and why we need each other. This is where and why we are built to be in community. This is why Jesus gave the world the gift of the church. Because we need one another for this. Because each of us sat here will be sat here with a different passion burning within us. A different sense of what is just and what is unjust in this world. Now, there are some things that we share as a sense of injustice. There are some things that we have in common with our view of injustice. That we may look at certain things, like certain illnesses and diseases, and see the sense of injustice. We will look at war and see the sense of injustice about that. But there are some areas in our lives, some things that we have a passion for. Some of the things we were drawing out last year when we asked you about the things that you carry, that are maybe you just completely unique to you. Something you have a passion for that you see as a sense of injustice that maybe others don't. I can only speak from personal example here. I'm sure you guys will know that I'm hugely passionate about the Handcross Community Pantry, and I'm hugely passionate about my school's work. And it's because I believe it's an injustice that people are going hungry, and I believe it's an injustice that children are growing up not having the chance to hear about Jesus. And so I want to do something about that. Now, other people may look at that and say, well, you know, why are you spending so much time in schools? Why are you focusing so much on the Handcross Community Pantry? Because for you, maybe those things may not be that same sense of injustice. They may not be the fire in your heart in the way they are the fire in mine. But you will carry something that I don't. And I think that when we are in a church community and we're growing to be disciples together and we're seeking to grow in what it means to celebrate the diversity that we have, I think we need to be really careful. And I'm not saying that this is happening here. Believe me, I haven't seen this happen here. I'm not saying this in response to anything, but I have seen it in other churches where people grumble about the things that aren't being done before asking themselves the question, am I the one who should be doing it? Is the reason it's not being done is because the person that God has given the passion to, which is me, is not doing it, and I'm expecting someone else to do it for me. Maybe if someone else does it, then I'll join in. When actually you may carry that very passion, that very burning, because you are the one whom God has given that passion to. That you see an injustice that maybe other people don't see, or don't see in the same way that you do. Or maybe they see it, but it's not for them the number one thing. But for you it is. And I think there's a call on us to do something with that. To not let that grow idle in our lives. To let it move from being more than just intention to action. Which is why the statement says we're working for justice locally and in the world. And yes, we bring others alongside us, and we don't do that in isolation. One of my great heroes of the faith, you all know, is William Wilberforce. Huge inspiration. If you've never looked to the life of William Wilberforce, I hugely urge you to do that. we know he carried a huge heart for justice for slavery. And he wanted to end slavery, to make slavery illegal in this country. And he worked day and night to make that happen. Now, he also had a huge sense of injustice about other things as well. For example, he founded the RSPCA. He abolished the National Lottery. He did loads of things to work for justice in this nation. And in many of those things, he did it in isolation to the point that he worked himself almost to death. And now, whether that's right or wrong, I'm not to say, but actually there is a sense in which we do need one another in order to bring justice. When God is writing to, in Isaiah, the passage we heard, he's writing to a community of people. He's not saying you individually, he's saying you as people. If you work for justice, if you loose the chains, if you ease the yoke, if you feed the poor and the hungry, and you work to these things, then you as a people will see God do these things. It's a calling on us as a community to work for justice. And yes, we may carry individual passions, but we stand together with those. Because if you just imagine what it would be like, if, let's say, for example, even in this room with, 30, 40 of us here, and we each carry, maybe between us, there will be some crossovers, there'll be some things we share, but let's say between us we carry 15, 20 passions for injustice, for seeing justice. What would that look like in the world if we all worked for justice? With those things that we carry. This is why, even if we do this, it will give as much glory as if God did it himself. Because if he's doing it through us, it is God doing it himself. But with us, in that partnership that was designed from the beginning. Sometimes we can pray and ask for justice, not realizing that we may be the answer to the prayer we're praying. That if it's on your heart enough to pray for it, then hopefully it's on your heart enough to do something about it as well. And it's not to feel guilty if you're not doing it, and it's not to feel condemned if you're not stepping out. But this thing, I think, exceeds experience, it exceeds age, it exceeds limitations, it exceeds circumstances, because if God has put it on your heart that there's an injustice, it's because it's on his heart too, and he wants to partner with you. And he doesn't leave you to do it on your own. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that lives in us. And if we believe in that power, then we believe he can help us to bring justice to this world in ways that honor him and glorify him hugely. Now, we have said that the Hand Cross Community Pantry is one area of justice that we have in our area, and it's one of what could be, I think, more, but it's a very significant one. And you know that I'm passionate about it, and I really appreciate the way that the community have really supported the Hand Cross Community Pantry in incredible ways. And it started in October 2019 with a harvest collection by our preschool, by the preschool in the village and one of the local schools. And every year in September and October, we have a bumper harvest in the pantry, and we receive so many donations. They tend to see us through till Christmas time, I think it's fair to say, Barbara, and it is amazing. I wonder, just as one act of justice, and this is only one act, and obviously you know this is my passion, may not be yours, that's fine, but I wonder if we can have a mid-year harvest. I wonder if next Sunday you could bring items for the pantry as if it was harvest Sunday. Bring an abundance of harvest gifts. Hand Cross Park School are going to do the same for us. They've agreed that they're going to do a mid-year harvest for us, which is amazing. And we're inviting you to join with that as well. So next Sunday, and maybe this week, when you talk about the kind of fasting that is self-sacrificial and for the sake of others, could you miss one meal and donate that meal to the pantry? By that I mean, could you miss breakfast and donate some cereal and some UHT milk? Could you miss lunch and donate the things that we give out for lunch and school lunches and that kind of thing? Could you miss a dinner and donate some pasta and some rice or something similar? Just as an example of that. So you don't have to do that. It's just an invitation to a challenge. But whatever it is that you carry, whatever it is that's in your heart, whatever it is you burn for, whether you do it alongside others and you invite others into it, whether you're joining in with something that's already happening, if we work for justice in this world, it will bring glory to his name. It will bring change. It will bring transformation. Because this is the very heartbeat of God, our God who is the God of justice.